Although our technologies have changed over time, our goal to understand the sun remains the same. My name is Troy Klein, and welcome to Sun Earth Day 2011, Ancient Mysteries, Future Discoveries. This new theme opens the door to a variety of topics ranging from ancient solar sites and discoveries to current and future discoveries. Many of these new discoveries involve NASA missions that, when combined, tell an even greater story of our dynamic solar environment. There's Earth, there's the Sun, and then there's a whole lot in between. Today, we discuss the energy, charged particles, and vast magnetic field surrounding the Earth, an area of space called the magnetosphere. David Young is a physicist at Southwest Research Institute who has spent his whole career working on missions like the upcoming Magnetospheric Multiscale Mission, or MMS. Now, that mission studies what scientists call plasma. Plasma is an electrified gas that doesn't occur naturally on Earth, but is the most common component of the magnetosphere.
That's an unfortunate name. The guy who named plasma plasma was an electrical engineer back in the 1930s. His name was Irving Langmuir. And the reason he called it that was because if you actually see this in the laboratory, what you do is you can put a thin gas in a chamber and make a spark across that gas. And if you do that, and you've seen this on television and science fiction stuff, the spark, the arc, actually will jump around, just like a lightning bolt will jump around. The lightning bolt creates plasma as well in the atmosphere. And this jumping around, that's looking like it's alive, caused him to give it the name plasma, which goes back to a Latin root word, which means to be alive. So this stuff is jumping around, and so it's called a plasma. What a plasma really is a gas that's so hot that electrons are torn off the atoms, and they stay off the atoms, and so you have positive charge on the atom or molecule, and you have negative charge in the electrons, and they're separated from each other, and so the forces between those two are very powerful, and you need a lot of energy to keep them separated from each other, and when you have that, you have a very hot gas. And so part of what's in a light bulb, a fluorescent light bulb, for example, is a very hot gas in which the ions and electrons are separated from each other, and when they rejoin, which they do sometimes, they give off light. The electrons fall into the ion, it becomes an atom, it gives off light. So plasmas are very hot, they're charged gas, and they typically give off light. And for example, the ionosphere of the Earth, which is difficult to see, you can see it in radio, but also the layers of the sun, the photosphere, the corona, and so on, are all plasmas. They're all very hot. They're all giving off light and heat. And this is true for stars throughout the universe. They're all basically blobs of plasma heated by the heat of thermonuclear reactions in the sun. So that's what a plasma is.
So why do we care about plasmas?
Well, let me tell you how it all started. It started with the aurora, the northern lights, and in the 19th century, scientists were trying to understand where they came from, and it turned out that those lights were related to activity on the sun. We didn't know how that was happening, but we knew it was happening, and anyone who's seen the aurora, and students should, you know, look at a photograph or a movie of the aurora, will see that the aurora are aligned with magnetic field lines. They have big striations through them. And it's pretty obvious that the aurora connected to the magnetic field, and so in trying to understand that and explain it, we finally came to the conclusion that what's making the aurora are plasmas above the Earth's surface. Now the question is, where does that energy come from to make the particles that bombard the atmosphere, and the atmosphere acts like kind of a TV screen for these energetic particles, and the energetic particles, which are basically hot plasmas, make the light in the atmosphere that we call the aurora. Okay, so we back that up, and we follow the particles out the magnetic field lines that surround the Earth, and lo and behold, some of them go all the way back to the sun, and others, like oxygen ions, which are seen in the aurora, trace back into the Earth's magnetosphere. So you've got lots of questions. Where does this stuff come from, number one, and number two, how does it get its energy? Okay, so now you back off into the Earth's magnetosphere, this blob that's carved out of the solar wind by the Earth's magnetic field. When you do that, you start to ask yourself, where does the energy in this magnetosphere come from? And scientists over the last 50 years have discovered it comes from a process called magnetic reconnection. And this happens when the magnetic field being carried out from the sun connects with the Earth's magnetic field. This sits there and protects us from these particles. And when the magnetic fields are in the right direction, they destroy each other. They annihilate each other. And in the process, the energy that was in the magnetic field is given up to plasma. And that plasma is accelerated to high energies, and some of it ends up in the aurora. On the other hand, when this happens on the sun, when you get solar flares on the sun, and this is strictly plasma on the sun, you get magnetic field lines that are twisted across each other, and they reconnect. And this energizes the plasma at the sun and blows it up and sends it out to the Earth as what we call a magnetic storm. The same thing happens throughout the universe. It happens in other stars. Every star has some form of magnetic reconnection taking place. Pulsars have magnetic reconnection taking place. Virtually every object in the universe that's consists of a plasma or has a plasma around it has reconnection going on. So now come back to the Earth, where we see evidence of the energization of these plasmas, and the Earth is the nearest plasma laboratory we have. I mean, we're not going to send a spacecraft to the sun, so we send them around the Earth. And that's where we study reconnection. So we can see how the plasmas are mixed, how they're energized, and so on. And that's what MMS is all about, to measure how this takes place in the nearest laboratory we've got, which is orbiting, you know, sending satellites to orbit the Earth.
To learn more about these geomagnetic storms, David is the principal investigator for an instrument on MMS to study the plasma surrounding Earth and that magnetic reconnection.
What we're doing on the MMS mission, and what I've done most of my career, is try to understand space plasmas, not just the dynamics, how they work, but also the composition, the chemical composition. And that's because we don't know where the plasma comes from all the time. At Earth, we measure the plasmas around the Earth like the MMS will. And what we see in it is hydrogen, which could come from the Earth or from the solar wind, from the sun. And we see oxygen, which can only come from the Earth. And so if you measured a plasma that was undergoing magnetic reconnection and energization and so on, and you see only protons in it, you won't know where it's coming from. You won't know if it's a plasma from the Earth being joined to a plasma from the sun. But if you make the measurement and you see protons, you know, you don't know where it comes from. But if you see oxygen being accelerated in magnetic reconnection, you can say, aha, this bit of plasma came from the Earth. So what I've done my whole career is build instruments like that, and I'm in charge of one of the instruments on the Cassini mission to Saturn, and it's a mass spectrometer. That's what these are called. And that mass spectrometer we can use to tell what's coming off the moons of Saturn, what's coming off the moon Enceladus, which has giant geysers on it, what's in the buried in the ionosphere of the moon Titan, and that's a lot of basically organic junk, like smog coming off. So that's the basic idea, is to try to understand the origin of plasmas, whether it's from the sun, the Earth, Saturn, the moons, or whatever. And the second thing I do is I build these instruments. And so I start off with a science concept. What is it we want to measure? What's the important science? And then we use that and our understanding of how to build instruments to go after the most efficient, best, highest performance instruments we possibly can to make those measurements. And so on MMS, that's what we've done. We've built the best plasma mass spectrometer, which is what these instruments are called, in order to try to understand what goes on in magnetic reconnection.
Those incredible explosions caused by magnetic reconnection can affect more than just auroras. Those magnetic storms can knock out satellites orbiting Earth, another good reason for scientists to learn as much as they can about the sun and its plasma. I'd like to thank David Young for talking to us today, and I look forward to future interviews with people involved with the MMS mission. I hope you enjoyed the Sun Earth Day Mission Highlights podcast. If you have something to say, just join us in Facebook or send an email to sunearthday@gmail.com. If selected, we'll share it in one of our upcoming podcasts. For all other details about the Sun Earth Day program, including information about our past Sun Earth Day themes, be sure to visit our website at sunearthday.nasa.gov. While there, don't forget to register in order to receive Sun Earth Day updates. You can also learn more about NASA by simply visiting www.nasa.gov.
This is Troy Klein signing off.